It's time for the Phenology Show. Phenology is the rhythmic biological nature of events as they relate to climate. And it has been a rollover week, I would have to say, because there are a lot more trees in color now than there were a week ago. The maples are really starting to turn. I think over the years, the average date for peak color in the maples has been the 21st. And with apologies to my friend Anne and her daughter, I think I told them that I thought this year it might run as late as the 1st of October, but I suspect that just the way things are going now, that our red maples will peak probably by this time, well, next week if the weather holds. We'll have to wait and see. But it's coming along very, very rapidly, and I would think that we're going to be pretty close to being on time this year for our colors. One of those, besides the red maples, the sugar maples are definitely showing some color. Some of the round-leaf dogwoods are really spectacular right now. And the dogwoods, especially the round-leaf dogwoods, are among my favorites in the fall because the leaves are big to start with. They're almost the size of basswood leaves. They're probably 3 or 4 inches across and 4 or 5 inches long. And they turn a deep purple when they're all done. Right now, they're more red than purple, but they are definitely on the purple side of red. They're a deep reddish purple right now. And the other thing that makes them pretty outstanding is that the berries that are present on the round-leaf dogwoods are bright white. So as you drive around, look for these beautiful purplish bushes with big leaves and bright white berries. I was looking at some sunflowers the other day, and sunflowers, they're really one of those plants that are awfully hard to identify because they can quickly hybridize with other sunflowers in the area, and so they can exhibit characteristics that may not be one or another of the many sunflowers that are out there. But I think we're looking at, for the most part, either Annuus or Gigantea, which are two of the regular sunflowers that we can see out there. Anyway, it doesn't really matter. These are tall plants, sometimes 6-7 feet tall. The flowers are about 3 inches in diameter, and they look like, they look like the black-eyed Susan, except that the center of the flower is yellow to yellowish green, as opposed to the dark brown of the black-eyed Susan. But the rays, they're ray flowers, and the rays are roughly an inch to an inch and a half long, and the flower itself total is about 3 to 4 inches across. What made them interesting this past week is that the goldfinches, and there are a lot of goldfinches around right now. My feeders are just filled with goldfinches. Besides the goldfinches feeding at my feeder, they're out there plucking the seeds from the common sunflowers. I watched as three, I don't know if they were females or juveniles, but definitely goldfinch, and they were landing on these big sunflowers and pecking away at the centers of these flowers and eating the seeds that were there. So check out the sunflowers. There are lots of them. Some are still in bloom. Some have gone to seed. And those that are in seed appear to be giving it up to the goldfinches. Mountain maple is starting to turn. Now, mountain maple is a shrub. It's a maple, but it's a shrub, and it has a maple-looking leaf. And the stems of the mountain maple tend to run kind of from khaki, light brownish gray at the base to a sort of a deep red at the top. But the seeds right now, the samara, the wings that form on the seeds are a beautiful coral color. And I would describe coral as somewhere in there. If you were mixing red and orange and yellow and you got this kind of orangey, coral color. And it's a gorgeous, gorgeous shade right now. So look for these bushes, and not all of them are covered with seeds. Last year was a huge year for mountain maple seeds. This year seems like about, a third to maybe a half of the mountain maples have a good crop of seeds on them. But kind of check them out as you're driving along. You might see these beautiful, bright coral seeds that are standing out against the background of the red and green of the leaves. American and beaked hazel are both beginning to turn, and this is a good time of year to separate the two because the American hazel turns red and the beaked hazel turns yellow. And if you're thinking about hazelnuts, you're going to have to buy them because it's way too late. The squirrels and chipmunks and bears and all the rest of them that anticipate those hazelnuts have gotten out there and harvested them. Virginia creeper, sometimes called woodbine, a five-leaved vine that grows up and over many, many things. Oftentimes this time of year you'll see it climbing up in a balsam or a jack pine or some other conifer, and the leaves are beginning to turn red, and you'll see this plume of red snaking its way up, sometimes up telephone poles. But it is gorgeous, and it is starting to turn red. Keep an eye on it. It has deep blue berries on it. And as far as I know, those berries are not edible, at least not edible to us. I haven't actually tasted one to find out how bad they are, but I don't believe that Virginia creeper or woodbine has an edible berry on it. Lots of beautiful deep blue berries with those bright red leaves, though. So watch for the Virginia creeper. Joe pieweed is moving along and kind of going to seed. The box elder has begun to change its colors. Looking at flowers in the ditches, there are still a number of flowers out there that are in bloom. And one that is right kind of at the end of its bloom is the St. John's wort. Common St. John's wort, and it is really sort of at the very tail end of its flowering stage, and it won't be long and it'll be all done for the year. Pin cherries are beginning to change color, and the interesting thing about pin cherries, and one of the things I always look forward to, the leaves change from green to red, and they sort of do it helter-skelter. In other words, the whole tree will be a mixture of red leaves and green leaves. Kind of reminds me of salsa for some reason. And as the leaves that are red mature and the abscission layer forms, they fall. But the tree will continue to be sort of a mixture of red and green for quite some time before it becomes all red, and then all of the leaves will slip away and fall to the ground. Arrowwood, sometimes called downy arrowwood, is turning right now, and this is one of those. It's the scientific name is Viburnum dentatum, and dentatum refers to the big prominent teeth on the edge of the leaf. So if you see these leaves, arrowwood doesn't grow really tall. Probably 6-7 feet would be a tall one. Most of them are much shorter than that, but they're going to have deep purplish leaves with strong teeth on them, so you will be able to identify those pretty easily. Excuse me. Beyond that, let's see. I mentioned the basswoods are starting to fleck. Norway pines, and I'm sure the white pines and the jack pines and many of the conifers are starting to the needles are starting to turn. On the Norways, they go sort of orange. On the white pines, they go sort of yellow. But the color is going to start to stand out. And if you look at where the color is, you'll see that it's not at the tips of the branches. These trees aren't dying. They're simply getting rid of branches or needles that are 3 or 4 years old. And they will drop off very soon, probably around the, the 20th, 21st, maybe the 22nd of this month. You'll start to see the needles coming down out of those pine trees. So keep an eye on them. And the other plant that I've been watching and one that I always look forward to seeing is the Northern pin oak, and this is not a big tree at this latitude. It's a pretty small tree. Usually, one with a 3 or 4 inch diameter trunk would be a pretty big pin oak. But the leaves are starting to turn red, and they will become really scarlet before they're done. And the way to tell the pin oak from the red oaks is by looking at the indentations, the cuts between the points of the leaves, and those cuts are called sinuses. And on the pin oaks, the sinuses come almost to the mid-vein of the leaf. And on the red oaks, they're not quite so deep. So it's a subtle difference. The other thing, of course, is the red oaks most of the time will grow into much, much larger trees. A few notes about some birds and animals. And the hummingbirds, there are still a few around. The last reported hummingbird sightings here were on the 12th, and that came from several locations, including Grand Rapids, Hibbing, and down in Park Lake, down by Mattawa, Minnesota, south and a little bit west of Lake Superior. So there are still some hummingbirds in the area. The kids from Virginia reported seeing a kettle of birds, probably a kettle of broad-winged hawks. Sandy Rogenkamp reported that there were lots of broad-winged hawks being found at Hawk Ridge right now. So keep your eyes skyward, and you might get a chance to see these kettles. And a kettle is simply a collection of these hawks that are migrating together. And what they do is they look for a thermal, and they'll ride that thermal up until it blows out at the top. And then they'll once they reach the height at which that thermal dissipates, they will set their wings and they will glide off to the south. And part of the reason that they do this is that it's difficult for these hawks to obtain food while they're migrating because they're not familiar with their territory that they're flying over. And so in order to save food, they simply ride these thermals up. They can do it without flapping their wings. And once they reach the tops, they set their wings in a glide. And they head southerly and looking for the next thermal. And when they find it, they'll ride that one up and then do the same thing and kind of take a free ride to the south as they go. Final notes this week. Saw a spotted fawn standing on the sidewalk of 10th Street in Grand Rapids, which is right over here near the studio where the bridge, the Horn Bridge, crosses the Mississippi River. It came up on the sidewalk while I was driving by one morning about 5 o'clock in the morning, and stood there and kind of looked at me and looked at the bridge. I don't know if it was trying to figure out if it was going to cross the river or not, but anyway, there it was. And the other note I have is that I saw a fisher this week, and I don't get to see fisher very often, but this one kind of jumped up on the road in front of me, paused, looked at me, turned and jumped back into the woods. And as I drove up to where I'd seen it, it was standing about 15 feet off the road, kind of looking back at me. But think of a mink gone large and furry, and that will be your fisher. Very, very dark brown, very much larger than a mink, but not so sleek as an otter, and kind of fun to see. That's our phenology report for this week. As always, comments, questions, or observations, please send them along.